Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
This is Garden Variety, a horticulture podcast from Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. I'm Charity Nebbe. When your yard becomes a construction zone and the trucks roll in, you know that some of the plants in your landscape are going to take a hit. But it is one thing to need to reseed or replant perennials. It's another thing entirely to lose a tree. This hour, DNR forester Mark Vitosh is here to tell us why construction projects put our trees at risk and what we can do to keep them safe. Mark, welcome.
Good morning.
And I think, you know, trees seem, I know trees can have a lot of problems, but they also seem very big and strong and like they're going to be fine in pretty much any situation. When the trucks roll in, what are you most concerned about?
Well, the one thing is I've realized trees are very forgiving. We do some things that we probably shouldn't, and they seem to sometimes handle it. But the biggest concern when I go to a site that maybe there's going to be some construction activities and stuff, and I see yellow ribbons around the trees that they're going to protect, and that's their protection zone, the yellow ribbon. So it means do not hit the tree.
It would be damaging to hit the tree with a truck. That seems like a good idea not to, but you're just saying that they're just flagging, like, don't run into this tree.
Right. But we're forgetting really probably one of the most important parts of the tree that probably in most cases gets damaged during activities, and that's the root system. We just forget where it's at. It's much bigger than we realize. We know. And you're going to hear, and we've talked about it before, you know, most root systems that absorb the nutrients and water are probably in the 2 feet of the soil, top 2 feet.
Okay, so they're near the surface.
They're very close to the surface. And the other thing is, depending on the soil, and there's always exceptions. There's anchor roots and sinker roots that maybe go deeper depending on the soil profile and stuff like that. But they're shallow. The other thing is, if the conditions are decent for growth, those roots often go well beyond the edge of the branches. We have this concept that the edge of the branches, which we call the drip line, is kind of where the roots stop. Mm-hmm. That's not true in many cases, and those roots can go well beyond. I mean, if you have a 50-foot tree, those roots could be 100 to 150 feet from the trunk of that tree, depending on soil conditions. So those roots go well beyond that. So if we are not thinking about activities and how it impacts the roots, then those trees can get some damage.
All right. So we need to be aware that the root system is much larger than we know, but when that root system gets driven over or when something heavy gets parked on it, what can happen? What are the problems?
So the big things with activities, if we're driving over things, you know, even if it's just a small skid loader and stuff like that in really wet conditions, we know when something drives over that soil, it compacts. And depending on the type of soil, be it clay, be it loam, be it sandy, there's different levels of compaction. So when those wheels go over that soil, it compacts that soil. It reduces airspace. It reduces space for roots to move. And a lot of times the challenge is that compaction may not impact that tree for a couple years. And when we deal with construction activities, people will call and say, we did some stuff and, well, we're starting to see some damage, and it's been 3 to 5 years. Well, the construction can have caused that, right? Well, not necessarily. When we talk about floods and drought and things like that, when we have extreme conditions or conditions that damage roots, there's often a delay when we see the damage to the tree. So the tree can fight that off and use its reserves and stuff like that for a couple years. But then if it hasn't built that back up, they can start to decline. And usually when they decline from the top down. They start to thin, the branches look thinner, you might actually get some dieback and they just slowly start to decline. And when we have that compaction, that can promote root rots. It basically, if we have wet conditions, it can make it too wet then, or it just doesn't allow those roots to take advantage of what they need, the air and the nutrients and stuff like that. So that can start to cause damage. But it can be a long, you know, it can be a couple years before that. And the other challenge is when we do compaction, that can last for years. It can take years and years of natural freezing and thawing to get that back to the level, to the density that it was, to where it normally was. And it can be a long time for that tree to recover from those conditions.
Of course, another thing that often happens with construction is digging.
Right.
There are many, many opportunities where holes need to be dug.
Right.
And tree roots need to be cut through. How does that affect a tree?
So it's just like anything else. I mean, we talked about how important roots are. Roots absorb nutrients and water. They keep the tree stable in the ground. They help hold the soil. And if we cut, you know, usually if we cut more than 25% of the root system of a tree, I think even if we cut 10%, we can cause damage. But we tend to throw 25%. If we cut more than 25%, that can really reduce the tree's ability to absorb nutrients and water, which again can start to cause decline and those kind of problems. And it can cause it can be a long time. You know, we have the cutting, we have filling. Even if we add 2 inches of soil on top of existing soil, for some species, that can be too much soil. Or if we go into a natural area and we rip all the natural vegetation out and take the organic matter that was there and the duff layer of the natural forest area and then all of a sudden establish turf, that can cause issues. If we change the drainage patterns of the area, if that tree used to get a lot of water or didn't get any water, and then now we have a new project and all of a sudden every time it rains, there's 3 foot of water that sits around that tree that never did. All those things that are changes can have an impact. You know, and even it doesn't always have to be construction activity. It can be as simple as putting a septic system in or putting the new cable in, or they're putting the electric underground and they run one trench line 5 feet or 10 feet from the trunk of that beautiful oak and they just cut 45% of the root system off. That can be very damaging.
Okay, so we've talked about all the bad things that can happen. How do we prevent those bad things from happening? If we know there's work that's going to be done near our home, how do we protect the trees?
Well, the best way to protect them is the University of Minnesota and other groups use different terms, but they developed or just talk about what they call protection root zone. And they kind of start at the drip line. That's kind of a minimum area that you want to protect, and you don't want to change the site in that area. But they take it to a further level where they actually measure the diameter of the tree at 4.5 feet off the ground. And then they take that number and they multiply it for young trees that may be more adaptable by 1, or for older established trees or trees that are sensitive to changes by 1.5. So if we have a 20-inch diameter tree, they multiply that times 1.5, and my mass says 35. So that is a 35-foot radial protection for that tree. So that means you want 70 feet diameter protection. That's a lot of protection.
Yeah.
And what you would want to do is actually put not a permanent fence, but a fence that basically says this is a no-work zone. If you're going to do activities, you're going to run by this tree, you're going to do it outside of this zone. In the perfect world, if you could do that at a minimum, you're going to have a lot better chances to protect that tree. I understand reality. A lot of times we have to go through that tree or if we have to go by that tree. Sometimes we can use mulch to create a path that will actually reduce compaction. We can put 6 inches of mulch and create a path so that the tractor or the skid loader can run back and forth. We can create mini bridges with plywood and railroad ties to get off the ground and not put as much pressure. We can do things like that. The other thing that I forgot to say is if you're going to protect a tree, make sure it's worth protecting.
Mm.
Make sure it's, we talked about this in treating ash and stuff. Make sure it's not a risk tree. Make sure it's a tree that maybe you should be cutting down anyway, because it's not safe for the environment, or maybe it's not even healthy. Maybe it's not even worth protecting. So make sure it's protection worthy before you even start to take these kind of steps. But the farther you can stay away from that tree, the better. And in
even
some,
if you're sacrificing a larger portion of your lawn, because you know there may be a longer path that a truck has to take or something like that. I mean, you're weighing
lawns,
your priorities.
If you listen to the professional, lawns are a lot easier to reestablish than reestablishing an 80-foot tree, right? I mean, yeah. So lawns aren't going to take as long to reestablish, and if you damage lawns, you can fix them, so to speak. Whereas if you damage a tree significantly, there are things you can do to mediate damage, but it's a lot easier to protect them and prevent the damage than try to fix something that's already happened. So yes, if you can sacrifice something little else or a perennial bed for a couple years or something to avoid the damage of that tree, then think about doing that. Sometimes, too, you may look at the whole situation and go, well, this new addition has to go here, and we're going to be 3 feet from the trunk of that tree, period. Well, maybe we should cut the tree down now before we do construction. I've had a number of situations where I've advised people that maybe you're better off to take that tree down, and they say, we want to do everything to protect it. I'm like, it just may not happen. They go through the process, and then 4 years later, they call me, and I take pictures of them removing that tree. I've seen trees protected. There are some really extensive things that can be done, but a lot of times prevention is better.
Well, and we only have about 30 seconds here, but once you notice the damage 4 or 5 years later, how much can you do to mitigate the damage?
Well, a lot of times that's the tree actually trying to balance itself. So you have root loss, so you actually get tree decline because of that, top decline. Sometimes it will actually stop. It'll get to a point of equilibrium, and it'll do okay, and it can go on. But sometimes we can look at aeration, what we call vertical mulching, if compaction is an issue. Sometimes watering during stressful periods. The biggest thing is to maybe work with a tree professional, evaluate the health of that tree, and try to come up with some potential remedies. But prevention is best.
DNR Forester Mark Vitosh. For more gardening information and tips, you can subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Find out more at iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. Garden Variety is a production of Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension. It's produced by me, Aaron Stile, Caitlin Troutman, and the Iowa Public Radio talk show team. For more garden goodness, please subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Just go to iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. See you next time.